What's up, guys? It's Sholem Mighty Dwenya, a.k.a. Miguel Diaz from Cobra Kai.
And I'm Jacob Bertrand. I play Hawk.
And you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one again, guys. Peace out, dude.
This is Luscious Lou, and I listen to the Comic Syndicate. If you love comics, you'll be into it. Listen to the Comic Syndicate. If movies make you contemplate, just science will accommodate. Twitter for communication at Comic Syndicate 1. I was drowning in a sea of podcasts, and I found the one I need at long last. Book reviews, the news, and sex facts. It's more than anyone could ask for. The Comic Syndicate Podcast. Ooh, the Comic Syndicate Podcast. Ooh, the Comic Syndicate Podcast. Yeah, yeah. The Comic Syndicate Podcast.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate, episode 349. I'm your host, Josiah Sapp, for the villain on Twitter, at comic_syndicate on Instagram. What's up, guys? Welcome back to a brand new week. Let's hit it like we normally do, what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. Episode 249, damn it, every time I pull these up and it reminds me of something. I'm going to tell you guys a story along with this one. Episode 249 was entitled hashtag Requiem. This one was recorded Thursday, March 14th, 2019. This week at For the Villain hits what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. Rose through motions, drops some thank yous, and finally goes into bullet points along with WonderCon 2019 news and interview opportunities, and finally hits some comic talk, comic news, Sonic the Hedgehog backlash. So he looked weird with his teeth. And that was the biggest thing I think people were complaining about, so they had to scratch that and redo that. That was fucking funny. Lost Boys CW show. Brian K. Vaughan writing Gundam live action movie. Sherlock Holmes 3 delay. Disney streaming service news. Black Widow casting. Avengers Endgame new trailer breakdown. Arrow news and cancellation. Suicide Squad casting Idris Elba as Deadshot. Hawkman to be in Black Adam movie. And Batman 80th anniversary celebration all year for 2019. Then finally rock some comic reviews. Throwback from 2011, Jonathan Hickman's Fantastic Four run, 584 to 588. With 588, the issue landing as Book of the Week. Subscribe to the Comic Syndicate, blah, 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 blah. Okay, wow. This is the most bizarre thing about recording these and doing these look back 100 episodes ago. I entitled the show hashtag Requiem for a reason. So my brother had literally, my older brother, Jonathan Arabello, the oldest of all of us, my older brother, passed away 2 days prior to recording this episode. And we're all beat up. We're all destroyed. We're all emotionally a wreck. And even back then, I needed to talk in a weird way and let out my thoughts, opinions, emotions out. And it was from something I read from 2011. So my brother passed 2019, March 12th, a week after my baby brother Ray's birthday. So we're all just beat up again, destroyed. And I thought my mindset at the time was, what can you do? What can you put out that's going to sound interesting and or intriguing for listeners that have not heard of this story before? And it's pretty much the Fantastic Four. It's a Fantastic Four story. Johnny Storm, Human Torch, dies, though, in the Annihilation War. And he dies. He gives himself up. The back-to-back comics I read were the fight, the battle, and what Johnny Storm had to do to give up himself to save his family. And that's legit what the Fantastic Four are. They are family. Reed Richards is married to Sue Storm, and the best friend is Ben Grimm, so the Thing, and Johnny Storm is the sister. So that's very familial. The last one of this run by Jonathan Hickman, and I love his writing. Episode 588 was the book of the week, and it was just a retelling of something, again, that not a lot of people have heard or read about before. Requiem, this issue, is a silent issue. And it's weird to describe a silent issue in comics. No dialogue at all. No words, nothing at all. It's just you see everyone distraught. And the next day, everyone teaching their classes. And, like, no one wants to talk about someone they just lost. And very beautiful. They're hard to find in comic book form. But a silent issue is essentially, again, no dialogue is written on the pages. It's all just storytelling through pictures. Now, number one, you have to be a great writer to actually pull it off, because you have to let the artist know, like, all right, this is what I'm trying to convey. So if you can draw this panel in this way, if you can draw this panel in this way, and the grieving process, was something I needed. Again, it's always weird to look back at these ones because they're an ass kicker for me sometimes. Especially for this one, dude. It was a silent issue. I read through and went through these in this particular title. I like to revisit in a weird way and pay homage to my family members. This one in particular was for my older brother and my dad, that since have passed by now. My older brother Jonathan passed away stage 4 cancer, and it sucks, dude. We weren't the best of friends. We were when we were younger, but when I became a man proper, I think that's where we kind of drifted apart. Like, our mindsets and sensibilities were completely different, and I became my own person and my own man. And I felt like it, I miss him every day. I just felt like at the time he thought and looked at me lesser. But again, he was an adult. He was a man for the longest time. And he taught me a lot of things. All the lessons he taught me what not to do in your life. I love and I miss him, dude. And I like looking back at things like this because I do miss him. And as many similarities as we had, I'm told all the time, you look like Jonathan, which is great because Jonathan was a great looking dude. So if I look half as good looking as my older brother, that's great. I also hear from his best friends. You sound like Jonathan. And I know Jonathan and I sounded alike, and we probably still would sound alike, our voices, for the most part. And I never look at it like a bad thing at all. Like, again, he was a great-looking dude. He was a funny fucking dude. He had the biggest, most beautiful smile. His laughter was infectious. Like, it was dope. The only reason I'm talking about this is this was 100 episodes ago, and I get to revisit this part of my life that I don't get to share or talk about. So when I record, this is the best outlet I can have. I can share stories with you guys, the audience, and let you guys know where I'm coming from. And we all go through the same things in a weird way or another. And this is the way I go through with my grieving process. When my dad passed, I booked it. Like, I couldn't record anymore. I lost my voice. When my brother passed away, it's like, fuck, dude, read something that hurts you, dude, and talk about it. And talk about it passionately. And that's what I did. All right, guys, let's see. Okay, bullet points. What went down this weekend? Nothing. Nothing. I don't want to go into that story. Nothing happened. I've been working a lot. What went down this weekend, though, today, May 12th, 2024, happy Mother's Day to any and all the mothers that are listening to the show. Like, I hope you and your guys' family all had a great and wonderful Mother's Day. I literally just came from my sister's house, Leah's house. It was her first Mother's Day proper with my nephew, Jacob. Oh, Jacob was there too. Talia was there. But Johnny, little baby Johnny, was crying and fussy. And I start singing to him, and he looks at me, and he, like, smiles. He's like, I know that song. He just gives me that look. He's 7 months now, and he's striving, and he's getting chubby and healthy. He's so healthy. He's getting so big. Beautiful eyes, beautiful hair. And I start singing the Bluey song to him when he was fussy, and he just looks, and he starts smiling, like, I know this song. I'm like, yeah, I know you know this song, kid. Was very cool today. And I loved it. And I got to see my family. And I always love that time. All right, that's all I got for story-wise. Shout-outs real quick. The Comics in 3DS podcast. Find Ben Davis, Hector Conejo, and Adam Garza. Speaking of Adam Garza, geez. Next week is going to be episode 350. Adam or Adamless? I don't know yet, but I did get a response from him. He's not going to join me next week, unfortunately. I really wanted him on. I pulled articles. I did work so he can have fucking fun with this show and just get some weight off his shoulders and just have fucking fun. And he hit me up the other day. Yeah, I'm kind of putting everything on hold for now. I'm sorry. It's like, dude, don't worry about it. I love you. Like, it's cool, dude. I get it. I understand. I get it. He told me something on the side, and I'm like, dude, I mean, if you really want to fucking talk about it, we can fucking rip and unleash here. Like, I'm extreme. I'm rated. Oh. I'm for mature audiences on every site, everywhere. Like, I put myself as explicit for a reason. When Adam and I started the podcast, he's like, do we want to make it PG, like, kid friendly? I'm like, I know myself, and I know you know there's no way in hell we can do kid friendly. He's like, are you cool with explicit? I'm like, dude, we need to be explicit. We need that explicit warning tab underneath us, because we say shit that people don't have enough balls to fucking say, let alone think about, and we're ballsy enough to fucking say everything and bash everything. Speaking of unleashing, again, I'm like, dude, if you want to fucking unleash, you can come over here and we can have some fucking fun and just tear it fucking apart. And he's still out. So episode 350, even without him, I think I have a decent show. Speaking of shows, now though, every time I'm done recording a show, I feel like this is going to be good, or this was good. The past month, I think I've been on a roll where, okay, those were good shows, Josias. Like, you did good. This one in particular, I am weary about already. Like, this is not going to be one of the best or better shows. I don't know why, but I just don't think I have the content or stories to make this show be as good as the other ones are. And I don't mean because it's not the energy, the enthusiasm that I bring to the table today. It's just, I don't think I have a lot to say or talk about. That being said, no shout outs this week minus this one. And this one is going to be from Andrew Lewis, texted me. I really need to explain why at the end of the show last week I didn't play the song. Why I didn't give an intro to the song that I played last episode, episode 348. So last week I really wanted to, number one, first of all, ask Andrew, is it okay if I play your song on air? And if he did say it was okay, then I wanted to give it the proper introduction that it truly deserves. Andrew Lewis wrote that song, and it's called Fumble. And I, as I was recording and whatever I was saying at the end of the show, going through the motions and even talking about life, and I think about not attacking life, but enjoy the ride. Like, fuck it, you're going to eat shit. Shit sucks sometimes. and just keep on fucking just enjoy the fucking ride, which is several different meanings of find something you love doing and attack it and have fucking fun with it is where I was coming from. And on a whim, just going through the motions and seeing these things that I was not on, like, I don't write a script for myself. I'm able to record 45 minutes by myself. I do very little editing. That's how good I've gotten. That's how comfortable I've gotten. That's how confident I am doing this all the time. A lot of people can't do this by themselves. I'm more than comfortable to do it now. And at the end of the show, I'm like, fuck, after what I'm seeing, I had downloaded his song, Fumble, and I just felt so compelled to play it. I know what I was talking about was somewhat passionate. I was talking passionately from a passionate place, like I tend to do from time to time. And I'm pretty sure you guys have noticed. But for what I was talking about, wrapping up the show with my final thoughts, it just felt right to suddenly drop it in without an intro. I felt it worked. And I hope it did. And I think it did for the most part off this particular shout out. So Andrew ends up texting me, and this is going to be the only shout out. And I know, thank you everyone that did drop messages and words. I thought I had no show tonight, but Andrew hits me up. It's so amazing that you put another one of my songs on your beautiful podcast. I love you, brother. It's the highest honor. And I thought he was done with this text, but he got back to me pretty quickly. You bring so much authenticity and joy to my life. I can't imagine a world without your podcast, and more importantly, without you. Thank you, dude. You've been there for me through stuff, and you don't even know. You have a gift, and I'm glad that you use it for good, despite your Twitter name. And that made me laugh and chuckle out loud. Like, I'm on Twitter / X. I'm on TikTok. I'm at For the Villain, the number For the Villain. And just reading that made me laugh and chuckle, dude. You made my day, Andrew, off of that text message alone. I was having a rough week already, and I thought you would be mad, so I'm glad you didn't get upset for me playing it. If anything, everyone digs your song so far, and I love it. And again, I thought it would work well with what I was talking about and explaining without dropping this is, you know, give it the proper introduction, which you deserve the proper introduction. So everyone, Andrew Lewis is the writer, composer, singer, songwriter of Fumble, and I loved it. And it's one of my favorite songs, and it's still ringing in my head after everything. So, Andrew, I love your work. Keep it up, dude. Don't ever fucking stop, dude. You made my day. And again, thank you back. I love you, brother, as well. All right, question of the week this week. Ooh, okay. Off of what I read this week, this week should have been the week where the question of the week was, how would you feel about fighting your best version of yourself would be the perfect question to ask off of, again, based on what I read. But based on the day I had, and you know what? Fuck it. Based on the past 2 weeks, the past month I've had, is simply this: hanging out with my family and just talking to them, conversing and doing family time for Mother's Day. The question of the week for this week: when is or when was the last time you honestly and sincerely told someone how you feel or what you're going through in your life? Emotionally, physically, mentally, psychologically. When was the last time you were able to share openly any of these things with anyone? Your best friend, your sister, your brother, your mom, your dad, your cousin, anybody, your best friend. That you were able to share any of these things without getting any judgment cast upon you. I guess it's the bigger kicker, the last sentence, that you were able to share without any judgment. It's going to make sense towards the end of the show. Like always, give me a few. I'll be right back with some comic talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist of Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
All right, welcome back to some comic talk. Let's hit it. Let me find my notes real quick if I can find them. Here we go, guys. Sorry about that. You know what? Let's hit some what the fuck news real quick. I don't know why I didn't. I skipped everything. This weird show is not a winner show at all. I told you guys in the beginning of the show. I know when they're good and I know when they're bad. And I know out of the gate, this one was going to be a bad show. And it's still bad, so if we're going to be bad anyways, let's be extra fucking bad. A little late, but what the fuck news, real quick. Whew, this one came out on Tuesday, May 7th, 2024. Slaughterhouse Cleaning Company fined $649,000 for child workers. Trip the fuck out on this. The U.S. Department of Labor headquarters in Washington, D.C., Al Drago is the one who posted up these pictures. A janitorial company has been fined for $649,000 after an investigation found it hired minors for dangerous jobs cleaning slaughterhouses. The United States Department of Labor said Monday, Fayette Janitorial has employed at least 24 children, including those as young as 13. According to the DOL investigation, the Myers had been working overnight shifts at two separate slaughterhouse facilities, according to the DOL. Federal labor law bans children from certain jobs in slaughtering and meat packaging plants, including using or cleaning machinery, due to the hazardous conditions. In addition to paying the fine, Fayette must hire a third party to prevent instances of child labor and set up a way to report concerns that children are being employed. This is a direct quote. The realization that the use of fraudulent identification documents had allowed individuals under the age of 18 to circumvent our policies and procedures required immediate action. Fayette said in a statement sent to CNN, adding that substantial investments in proprietary systems and technologies has closed the gap that allowed this situation to arise. The company added that it has cooperated with the DOL and that our goal remains to. This is one of those fine points. Sorry about that. I've fucking cut off mid fucking quote. Our goal. I'm going to need to find this real quick. Sorry, guys. Our goal remains to ensure a safe and compliant work environment for all our employees. The remedies come after a federal court issued a temporary injunction against the company in response to the DOL request in February. Trip out on this. Children were found working at Seaboard Triumph Foods plant in Sioux City, Iowa, and at Purdue Farms Poultry Processing Facility in Accomack, Virginia. According to the DOL, minors were used to clean dangerous kill floor equipment such as head splinters, jaw pullers, meat bandsaws, and neck clippers. The Labor Department said in February news release describing the findings of its investigation. Purdue terminated our contract with Fayette Janitorial Services prior to this court filing, a company spokesperson told CNN in a February statement, adding, "Underage labor has no place in our business or our industry," the statement continued. All right. Because the show, I lost the show there for a bit. I really did. Going into what the fuck? And I went off on a tangent for a good five more minutes. I'm a meat eater. I'm a carnivore. And you know what? Fuck it. I don't feel bad for it because I love meat and I love carne asada. Give me a steak. Give me a T-bone steak. Give me fucking any type of steak. Give me ham. Give me bacon. Give me all that stuff. The sad, and you know what, fuck it, give me some fucking chickens on the side too. The sad thing about it is, when you think about it, the processing plants and the places that do gather our meat for our consumption has to be a gnarly job. That's not even the what the fuck about this article yet. That's just a matter of fact statement. As an adult, to be able to do it. Like, I thought I worked a lot until these kids are cleaning bandsaws, head splitters, kill floor equipment, across board, jaw pullers, meat bandsaws, neck clippers. All these things. Very what the fuck. Now, the fact that these assholes, they say, our company will continue to take all appropriate follow-up measures to protect workers and ensure accountability for compliance of its contractors with labor and employment laws. Instances of illegal child labor have been growing in recent years, and other contractors have been fined over employing minors. Last year, Packer Sanitation Services paid $1.5 million in civil penalties for employing minors in hazardous occupations and having them working overnight shifts, according to the DOL investigation. So, and I think I brought this up earlier. It might have been the part that I fucking lost in the audio. So I went from a 5-minute conversation to just this 2-minute one. What the fuck? I thought I was going to have nothing for this show, but at least it's interesting, at least, right? This is a gnarly fucking article. Share it with your friends. Share it with your families. Like, number one, as an adult, okay, it's a gnarly fucking job to have. As a fucking kid, a kid does not need to fucking see these fucking things and clean any of these. Like, they're in the kill rooms. It has to be bizarre and fucking nuts, and I can only imagine the fucking smell, dude. So, gnarly, what the fuck, dude? That's all we got for that. All right, let's hit it like we normally do. Let's hit some fucking comic reviews. I'm so gonna go fucking long. I really thought this was gonna be short. I know I'm the only fan of Ben Affleck's Daredevil movie that just got released on Disney Plus 2 weeks ago on May 1st. I love Daredevil. I do enjoy Ben Affleck as an actor. He is a fan of proper comics, and he was Daredevil. He was our first, our second Daredevil, technically. Because way back in the day, there was the Incredible Hulk show with Bill Bixby, which was a great show. Dun, 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 dun. And every time he would leave the town after he, was beautiful. And he was in that one wearing the black costume. Anyways, I enjoyed the movie. It's not the best comic book movie, but it was the first time we got to see Daredevil. And I enjoyed it. If you guys do as well, hop on in. Cobra Kai Season 6 gets first trailer. I think I hit that last week. This one is my favorite news this week. The Bear Season 3 premiere date revealed with new trailer. Officially premieres June 27th, 2024. I love this show. I love to cook. I love cooking for people. I love making people happy with what I cook. I'll hit it at the end of the show for that thought. All right, let's hit some comic reviews. This one is going to be an all DC-centric show. DC Comics Batman number 144, The Joker Year One, Part 3. Chip Zdarsky is the writer, Giuseppe Camuncoli and Andrea Sorrentino are the pencilers. Stefano Nessi and Andrea Sorrentino are the inkers. Alejandro Sanchez and Dave Stewart are the colors. Clayton Cowles is the letterer. And I just realized again, fuck me. I have a fucking gnarly story to tell you guys. It's going to make sense again towards the end of the show. I'm going to roll through these real quick. Okay, this one starts off with, in years in the future, with the Joker having infected the Bat family, essentially turning each of them to Jokerized versions of themselves, all of them. So Damian Wayne, who is the future Damian when he takes over the Bat mantle, but he's twisted and he's lost any thought of himself, and he's ready to kill people, which is number one rule for Batman, we don't kill. Nightwing's twisted, Barbara Gordon, Batgirl's twisted, Duke is fucking twisted. They're all fucking, all the Robins are fucking twisted. And it's now Batman trying to figure out the clues and trying to find and stop the Joker. And this is his inner monologue. Their laughter is like a crackling chorus through my protective earphones. My family, the most dangerous collection of people in the world. And I'm so damned old. But the Joker virus makes them lesser, like animals. So I unload every smoke bomb from my belt and give them something to chase. Selina was keeping them safe here. I feel terrible, sending them back out into the dark, violent world. They could hurt people, or worse. But I need to get to the bottom of the Joker's clues in order to end this. The disintegrating ring, the two Red Hoods, it's tied into the GCPD, the Gotham City Police Department. I need to figure out how. I'm out of time. Death is chasing me. Then time jumps now to the past. Year one-ish, the evolution of the Red Hood gang, and even the origin of the Joker to some degree. The future story I dig on more as both the Joker and Batman are older, and we see their lives so interconnected. That was a good touch. This issue, in the future, Batman finally realizes, though, and this is the part probably I like, Batman finally realizes that the Joker could have beat him. The Joker could have beat Batman any time he wanted. Very interesting. Next issue after that, issue number 145, Batman Dark Prisons, Part 1. Chip Zdarsky, George Jimenez, I love his art. Tomio Mori is the colorist. Clayton Cowles is the letter. This title starts off completely different. Current time now, as both Joker and Batman are maskless in a prison cell, and both have just gotten their asses kicked and handed to them. And this is the conversation Batman and the Joker have. And Batman is just in his bat briefs. I know that sounds weird. Just, you know, he's shirtless, he's bandaged up. Joker just got his ass kicked and back broken a few episodes. I always say episodes, issues back. And they're both fucked up. Batman says, "You're a liar. But I'm a liar in prison." This is their back and forth. "And the truth shall set us free." Ha ha ha. Batman, "He knows about my mentors. It's possible that Daniel Kiptio trained him the same way as he did to me. Ultimate control of your own mind. It's how I was able to eventually create and partition Zarenra." This is Batman's inner monologue. Joker continues, "So now that I've unburdened myself to you, what's your diagnosis, Dr. Batman?" And he starts laughing again. "You've known about Zur this entire time. You've only shown him to me twice before. But he was beautiful. The real you. Breaking you is easy. Breaking him? That would be a true triumph." Quit the triumph. He broke your back. Joker, "Nothing a few sit-ups can't fix. He left you here to rot. I'll get out on good behavior. Don't you get it, Brucey? I love this. Being here with you as you spiral. Because you're here and he's out there living your life. Surely down in your cave, playing with your toys. Doing a better job than you ever could. The true Batman. And you're here with little old me. Just another criminal. Another madman. While your city finally receives real justice." So I love this conversation already. And this is where we see what's happening in Gotham now, as we see the Zur-En-Ra personality of Batman in the fail-safe body out on the job, where the first person of the Bat family that tries to stop him is the Red Hood. Jason Todd is called Red Hood. It's very cool to see fail-safe start going after criminals, but the way he goes about things is way different than what Batman does. But we also get to see the complexity of Batman and his mindset to begin with, and it's just a fucking cool fucking story. And it's very cool. And the Bat family by this point is trying to figure out, like, what the fuck's going on. Like, Batman's finally back, so Bruce is back, but what the fuck is he doing? They're not aware yet that Batman's consciousness has been uploaded, so that, and it's going to sound convoluted a little bit. But as I continue the next few, it'll make sense. Batman's fucked up personality has been uploaded into this fail-safe body. Number 146, Dark Prisons, Part 2. This title starts off with a lot of dialogue and background and context for this full story. And I know I'm trying to just give you the summarization. I want you guys to, like, find it like, oh shit, that sounds fucking dope. Or, you know what, that sounds too boring. Or, it's too much work. All of that. Find it. It's good. this one talks and goes into about the Joker needing and wanting to bring out more of the Zur-En-Ra personality of Batman out. It goes into how Joker has really, how long he's been at this. Even going to the Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo run on Batman during the New 52 era, when Joker got his face ripped off. Oh, am I still recording? Yes, I am. Sorry, guys. I had to fucking double check that. I've had issues tonight. I always have issues. Comic book issues. And it's really cool, again, to see how Joker, how long he's been going at it. And one of my favorite parts of this particular is Nightwing and Oracle calling in not for help, but to inform some of their friends what's going on. And so Batman and Oracle slash Batgirl. They hit up The Flash, Superman, and Wonder Woman. And very cool. So what do we do, Flash? Flash says, it sounds like he's still operating on Batman's code. No killing, no guns. Right now, he's just more of a Batman, right? Wonder Woman says, it appears that he's doing the things he's wanted to do for years. Accelerating this war on crime by arresting more criminals. And it goes back to Batgirl. He's booking them all and entering them into the system, along with evidence, as if he's a cop. He set up trial dates for months from now. The mayor wants him stopped. Commissioner Montoya is still observing right now. Nightwing says, we all go against the law from time to time, against the powers that be. It's how we operate. But this is different. It's Bruce with the power of failsafe. A robot that beat all of us. If we decide he's crossed the line, how do we even stop him? And it's just a great scene because we even get Superman, the look on his face like, fuck, dude. This is a different version of fucking Batman. like, fuck, dude. Like, he has contingency plans and I don't know if we can fucking, it was just fucking very cool. So this is why I like it. And jumps now to the story with the prison cell where Joker and Bruce Wayne literally uses gauze to mask his face up so nobody knows he's fucking Batman. And he walks out and he's ready to break them both out, he and the Joker out. And I love this panel so much. His Batman's back is against the wall. He walks out and he says, headcount has it at 76. Well, all right, I'm good with this. Let's do it. And he's ready to scrap. Like, he walks into the room and he's like, fuck, this is a lot of motherfuckers. All right, that's at least 76 people. All right, fuck it, let's go to work. Like, very ballsy and just very fucking cool. So just very cool to see this. It's going to be okay. Taking one of the final human guards of Blackgate now. And so, okay, so Batman's able to escape these 76 prison guards, not even prison guards, prisoners, and he's able to make it up. And one of the last human guards now of Blackgate, where he and the Joker have been held, Batman and Joker have been held, pulls a gun on him. And it's interesting to see this. It's going to be okay. Talking to this last guard, I say it now and I almost believe it. I have just enough of Zur's memories to know how trapped I really am. I can't risk contacting others because he has plans to destroy every last one of my friends. He has access to everything. Everything except me. And then a very interesting interaction happens between Failsafe and Batman. And the Failsafe Batman and Superman at the end of this title, where it just looks really, the conversation they have, the way Failsafe is a robot dressed in Batman garb, and his face is AI with Batman's personality, but the twisted version of his personality uploaded into it. So he calls everyone friends, and Superman goes to Gotham, and he's like, "Hey, Superman, how are you? How the fuck are you doing?" And the conversation is just nuts because it's funny because he's like, Talk to me, Bruce. He's like, I am talking to you. I care about you. I care about what's going on. And you're my friend, and I don't want to hurt you. So let me do my fucking job and we're not going to have to fucking talk about it. Really fucked up, but very cool because Superman's also like, fuck, what the fuck happened? Last one is going to be issue 147. I really enjoyed this one as well. Still same artist, same team, and we see the conflict now going on in Gotham as the failsafe Batman is taking things a little more beyond what our Batman does. And now that our Batman, Bruce Wayne, has escaped this prison, it's him on the run now, and this is his story. All my contingency plans are dead. Zur lived in my head. He knows it all. So now I guess, second guess, and triple guess my next moves, praying he won't know where I land with what I'm planning. He ends up in this secluded place, and how far back I'm willing to go. A million years ago, this was the headquarters of the Justice League. It's been home to many heroes over the years, many friends, and it's cool to see this interaction he has with a young Barry Allen, Flash, and them talking together. And it's just funny, the interaction they have, because it is Barry Allen, and this is the conversation. Look, I know you're a dark loner who somehow wound up in a group for the greater good, but you can relax, we're on the same team. Everyone's goal here is to help people, and that includes each other. You just need to let us. And we see them both in old costumes, so this is way, way back when. And now that Batman, Bruce Wayne, I can't even call him Batman because he's got a ball cap on like I always wear now and a jacket, and he's just Bruce Wayne in this Justice League facility not trying to get information, but getting tools for his plan that he knows he's fucked on it anyways. So very cool. And we see him with his head down like, fuck, in the Justice League hall, like all by himself, and it's fucked up. He knows he's fucked. And very interesting interaction now between the doctor that brought out the Zur-En-Ra personality of Bruce Wayne, talking to Failsafe Batman. Is fucked up. This means nothing to me. So this is Batman. He's broken, on the run, unable. So this is, the failsafe Batman saying all this. He's broken, on the run, unable to turn to anyone for fear of what I'll do to them. Bruce Wayne is finished. It's interesting to me that you're underestimating him. Like so many of his villains have done over the years. What does that say about you, I wonder? I don't like what you're implying, Captio. I gave you the position because of your knowledge of the human mind. If you're intent on dissecting mine, I'm just saying it's a fine line, isn't it? Bruce walked it, and that's what made him so fascinating to me. A creature of darkness and terror who protects people, who cares for humanity. You don't know me. This is Failsafe still talking. And you don't know where I'm headed. Try and keep the prisoners in the prison, Daniel. I have someone trying to get my attention. So as this is going down now they're rustling FBI agents, federal agents to bombard Wayne Manor to find Bruce Wayne. And so many things have happened, and it's just interesting to see Robin, Damian Wayne, go to bat for who he thinks is his dad, quote-unquote. It's just very interesting. We see the conflict now. Amanda Waller is in this, and it's just very cool. I really love the Bruce Wayne moments. Got what I needed from the JL base, so the Justice League base. Too risky to stay there. So just need to hope Zur doesn't consider the cabin. My father built it with his bare hands. It was our secret escape from the trappings of the manor. Alfred would join, and my parents would feed him for a change. I loved it. Everyone loved it. So we see now, like, flashback panels where it's him and Tim Drake now, and he's trying to teach Tim how to be an archer. And I'm going to go through it real quick. He's like, damn it, I just can't get it. So Tim Drake misses. It's okay, Tim. It just takes time. I know, I want to be better now. If I'm going to be Robin, I need to know everything. And you will. I'm sure of it. Was it easier for Dick? I won't lie to you. He came to me as a circus kid, flying high every night, defying death. He was primed for this life. But that doesn't mean you can't be equal to him as Robin. You're putting in the work, and that's all it's about. And just cool. And that means a lot to me. And now, Batman in the cabin now. Dick was a natural. I was a natural. We worked hard to get better, but Tim really had to work at it. At the time, I was worried, but now I'm inspired. I'm up against it. My body hurts and I'm slowing down. There's nothing else to do but put in the work. And that's my favorite part of this fucking story. Like, Batman's beat up. He's fucked up. He's has to fight this AI fail-safe Batman version of himself that's twisted with his twisted perversions of his own mind that knows every move he's going to make. I really enjoyed it, and I really liked that put in the fucking work, because I believe it. All right, how far are we? With all these fucking interesting things that have happened with the show, let's cut it. I don't want to go longer than what I have to. Question of the week. I want to fucking put on hold, blah, 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 blah. Let's let 30 fucking seconds go by again. Thank you, Alex, for fucking noticing that last week. Question of the week. When is or when was the last time you honestly and sincerely told someone how you feel or what you're going through in your life? Emotionally, physically, mentally. Someone that you were able to share these things with that was not without getting any judgment on you. Why should this be the question of the week? Because I had none, and I went through it today. Mother's Day, went to my sister's house, Leah Beth's house, and got to sing Bluey to my nephew, which was adorable. And once I started singing to him, he just starts smiling and starts kicking his feet like, Uncle, I know this. Yes, kid, you're 7 months old. You can't talk yet. But just the expression, he's like, I know this. No one has sung this to me, Uncle, and it made him happy. My family always asks me, and I always ask my family when I see them, what's up, Moses? How are you doing? How are you feeling? Mom, you look good. You look great. How are you feeling? I know you had to go to the doctor and you know, taking care of everything. And making my rounds, just catching up one-on-one personally with my family. I'm not as local to them. Granted, we still live in Orange County, but I live further out southbound. So I only get to see them really now during holidays and birthdays for them to celebrate my family. We always do that. And I get asked by my mom and Ray even asked, my mom asked and she pointed it out, and everyone really pointed it out, like, Josias, you've lost a lot of weight. Like, you look good. Thank you. How are you doing? And it's weird. I'm like, I'm good. And then I had to stop. I'm like, I'm working a lot. I'm tired, but I'm good. What's wrong? Are you? I'm good. And then finally, like, no one gets it for some reason. Second job has not gotten any easier. The office is the office, and it's still work. And because of the work, the second job, getting out at midnight the past two Mondays and starting off my work week like that has been an ass kicker. And to tell and to finally say it out loud, like, I don't. I'm a proud dude, yes. I'm proud of what I can fucking do and I can accomplish, and that's the Josias in me. To finally, as I'm saying out loud, I'm good. I'm just, when people in my life recently ask me how I'm doing and giving them just the straight fucking 2-second answer. I'm banged up. I'm beat up. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. And when people regurgitate the same thing when I ask them, well, how are you doing? And they literally say the same thing back to me. I'm like, what the fuck do you fucking do to be so tired and or fucking exhausted or fucking beat? Because you don't know that world. It takes me so much not to fucking flip out on fucking people sometimes. When I'm at the second job with the coworkers, and this is the restaurant, I make it a point to talk to everyone as nice, cordial as I can, and to be brief about, I'm good, I just had a fucking long office day, I'm fucking mentally wiped already, but I'm good, I'm hoping tonight just fucking flies by. And most times it hasn't flown by at all. It's a slog, and it's an ass kicker, and I'm going to sleep way later than when I normally go to sleep. And so to talk to my family, like, Jose, yes, you look good. Like, you're losing weight. And it's not because I'm trying to lose weight. Like, yes, we can always be in shape and better shape. When people tell me, like, what do you mean you don't have enough time to work out? Dick, I do not have enough time to fucking work out. I'll say 7 o'clock I wake up every morning, just to be fair. By the time I'm done working, by the time I get home, 11:30, there's no way in hell I'm going to work out, go for a run at 11:30, because I'm already wired by the time I get home. I know if I go run or work out, I'm going to be extra wired. Like, I know my fucking body. And to finally tell my brothers and my sister and my mom, really, Leah Beth, And my mom were the ones that asked, and it's like, so how are you doing? I'm good, and I'm just beat. I'm exhausted. I'm glad you guys are saying I look good. Like, I'm good. I'm healthy. Like that's number one. And even telling them out loud today, like, I'm fucking burnt out, honestly. Like, I don't have anyone to fucking talk to about this. I don't. And it's not a mental break for me, and I'm not even fucking crying telling them this. It's just being honest with myself and with my body and with my mind, really, on where I'm at right now. Physically, I'm great. I'm good to go. Mentally, I'm beat up. Emotionally, not banged up at all. If any of those three things intertwine, that's when I know I'm really fucked up, and it's not there yet. Mentally tired, body banged up, emotionally fine, physically fine, I can do it. But to say it out loud, like, shit, I think I'm fucking burnt out. And not even to say I think I'm burnt out, like, I'm burnt out, guys. Like, I don't have anyone to talk to. And not to say anything bad about my friends in my life, and people, coworkers at the second job, like, I'm putting on a good fucking show for you guys. Because I don't ever acknowledge that I'm burnt out. And I never really do. And I do take my body and my mind into account of everything I do. I want to be there for everyone else too and talk to everyone. And it's not like I'm putting a Band-Aid on anything for myself at all. But to finally see my family, and I haven't seen the baby since we went to Vegas last week and we did rails on hookers' asses, little Johnny and I, rocking and rolling in Vegas and just having a blast. So I haven't seen them in a while. And even prior to that, I don't think I've seen them since the month prior, Ray's birthday in March 6th. So very weird. But again, to talk to my family and to say it out loud without even thinking, just being the straight shooter talker I am all the time, where you're going to get the real me all the fucking goddamn fucking time, is saying it out loud without even thinking, I'm fucking burnt out. And my mom fucking tells me something, and look, it was Mother's Day. And if I'm being real, I'm not going to go into this background story yet, but she's not my best friend at all. And I'm not her favorite child. Like, that's completely fucking real. When people say, I don't have a favorite kid, that's a bunch of horse shit. Not to go into that story. I don't rely on a lot. I don't rely on anybody in my life, really. I don't. I don't. I rely on myself all the time. So I talk to myself a lot, just like we all do. Is it twisted to do it? Yes. But do we all do it, like, in a real aspect? Like, let's say you're driving in a car by yourself and someone zips by. Don't tell me to say, this fucking motherfucker. We're all guilty of it. Like that's a thing. Psychologically, it means you're fucked up. You talk to yourself, and psychologically, you're not in the best health mindset, which is a thing as well. That's not to say I don't talk to myself, because I do have to push myself sometimes a lot. Like, fuck, dude, one more goddamn day, just so you got this, motherfucker. You got this. Get through fucking tonight. Make it through the weekend. You're fucking good. You're fucking golden, homie. I will never admit to myself, fuck, dude, you're fucking burnout. You're fucking tired. You work too fucking much. And not to say is I don't have anyone to talk to. Like, I talk to everyone at the second job, but give them the brass knuckles bullshit version of, fuck me, dude, I can't fucking do this anymore. Like, and then telling myself when I'm talking to myself, in the shower, like, fuck, motherfucker, you got this, you got this, you can fucking do this. And then talking to my family that I haven't seen in a month and a half, and without even, I don't want anyone to feel sorry for me. This is not a fucking pity party at all. It's just realizing, like, I'm burnt out, guys. And my sister and my mom are like, you're doing good, though. Like, you look good. I'm like, yeah, well, the weekends are the only days I have to sleep, like, to recharge my batteries and go at it one more time against this. So I had a great time. But to say it out loud was very weird. And I got no judgment from them at all. It's never, look at what I'm doing. Look at everything I'm doing. They asked me an honest question, and I answered them honestly. To the point where when I left, I gave everyone, you know, the hugs, kisses, and I love you guys, I miss you guys, I'll catch you guys. Mom, happy Mother's Day, I'll catch you, I don't know, I'll catch you for Moses' birthday next month. And she's like, Jose, yes, you're doing good. Like, I know why you're tired, it's because you work a lot. Like, but you look good, you're good, right? Mom, I'm good, I don't do anything stupid, I don't do anything crazy. She's like, and the way she said it was fucking cool. It's something I don't think I ever got from her ever as a kid, because honestly, I didn't have my mom as a kid. And she's like, you're doing good. You got this. Was a weird affirmation, like, shit. I didn't need to hear that. I didn't need to hear this from you. Just being honest with myself and my family, telling them, like, fuck me. Again, emotionally, physically, mentally, I'm good. Overwhelmed, though, is a fucking thing. And it's only going to get worse. And I think I'm going to take the job opportunity the office gave me a few weeks ago. Probably a month ago by now. Actually, a month ago by now. I think I'm going to take it up. I need to do more. Like, it sucks, because after I just told you guys I'm fucking burnt out, I need to do more. I'm not... Not to say I'm not happy or I'm not satisfied. That's not it at all. I need to push myself always. I need to give myself a challenge. I need a new fucking test. I need to test myself always. And not the best time to be taking it, but I don't ever want to feel complacent in my life. And I think I'm going to take it. And if it's good or bad for me, I know I mentioned a month ago, this is probably not the best thing for me to be doing to myself. And after I just said I'm burnt out, is weird, right? And then you have these talks with yourself and these realizations where it's like, Josias, it fucking, it hurts right now, motherfucker. It's only for the time being, dude. You're going to get over this fucking hump. You fucking got this. Is very weird. Self-reliant and self-resilient is what I like to look at it as. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But yeah, I need a fucking challenge, and I'm gonna find out this week. I'm gonna find out this week at the second job how bad I want things to go. And that's not even the second job I'm talking about. Like office, I'm gonna be gone probably Tuesdays, Mondays and Tuesdays from both jobs. I'm in Texas working my office job because I'm going to be traveling more. And maybe I need a new scenery in my life. So I hope you guys enjoyed this show. In the beginning of the show, I said I didn't think I had anything good to offer or to talk about. And I really hope this one was good enough for you guys to enjoy and hopefully think about these things that I've mentioned. I'm not one to judge anyone. Like, I'm not ever one to judge anyone. And I'm always there for everyone. And I try to be there for everyone. And I really am. I bend over backwards for a lot of fucking people. And when people don't appreciate what you're doing for them, fucking sucks dick. And it's a heartbreak sometimes, but I'm completely cool with it. All right, guys, before I go with proper introduction this time, this is my boy Andrew Lewis, who wrote my intro theme song for the Comic Syndicate. I love this song. I want to play more of his songs. This one I did not think would be one that would be on my mind to be an outro. And Alex had asked a while back, you know, what's going on? And I'm like, he sent me a bunch of songs. He's like, so are you going to play those? Yeah, the lead up, like episode 350 was to play everything. And by the way, episode 350, I'm going to play a project for you guys I've been working on all year long. And I hope you guys like it. And I'm going to go more into that next week. But again, I'm sorry, Andrew Lewis, this is his song. The name of the song is called Fumble. I hope you guys enjoy it. Andrew, I love you. Thank you.
I fumbled to form these cards. I've never given up everything I know for more. Content to feel slightly forlorn. Intent on repairing a heart that's been torn out and worn. I hate the way that I feel when I feel this way. I hate the things that I do when I do these things. I hate the things that I say almost every day. I just devastate. I hate the way that I feel when I feel this way. I hate the things that I do when I do these things. I hate the things that I say almost every day. Content to feel slightly forlorn. Intent on repairing a